That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Well, that's what she said.
Welcome to That's What She Said, conversations with interesting people from the world of sports, music, comedy, and more, talking about their lives, careers, successes, and failures. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this extra special mini That's What She Said. Had an opportunity to talk to one of the greats, Annika Sorenstam, ahead of the Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship coming up this weekend. I hope you guys enjoy the conversation.
That's what she said.
So happy to welcome in Annika Sorenstam, one of the all-time greats, 8-time player of the year, 6-time winner of the Vera Trophy for low scoring average, a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. On April 6th, she'll be joining Nancy Lopez, Lorena Ochoa, and Suri Pak to participate in a special first tee ceremony ahead of the final round of the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship. I'm super excited to talk about that tournament, but I want to start quickly, Annika, with the bigger picture. You're one of the biggest female trailblazers in sport. You retired just a few years ago. In the time since you retired and you look back at your career, how have you seen the treatment of and opportunities for women in professional sport across all sports change since you started out?
There's no doubt it has changed. I think it's, a lot of it is, thanks to social media also, but just the awareness, the playing opportunities, the exposure, and just kind of the demand, if you want to say, from female athletes, asking for a platform to show their skills and have opportunities to grow as individuals and, obviously with corporate support that, give women opportunities to be successful. So I've seen it in sports. I've seen it, in a lot of places the last 10, 15 years.
Where do you think the focus should be to help grow it even more? Where should we be focused?
I think we should focus not so much on just getting girls to, to try a sport. I think there are plenty of initiatives to, give them a ball in their hands or, kick something around or, just explore different opportunities. I think the hardest thing is to keep girls into the game. And that's one of the reasons why I'm excited about the, Augusta National Women's Amateur. It's not for beginners, of course. It's a platform for these young girls to dream big and to celebrate not just women's golf and women in general, but, really continue to inspire them to, be successful. And I think that is really important.
A lot of the great men's athletes end up forming little tribes with each other from all the work they end up doing, whether it's marketing or through events. Are there women in other sports or even in golf that you've established some friendships with and communicate with even after retirement?
I do keep in touch with some of the players that I used to play with, but I agree that, some mentoring programs and women need to celebrate other women's successes and, it opens doors for others and it makes others dream that there's possibilities and, I really think that's important. And I see that more and more how, you rely on others to be able to be successful. And I think women need a little bit more. Women are more, we do better as a group, and to support each other is really important. And, that's one of the things that I am excited about is, to partner with Bank of America with this tournament because they have a deep history of this, of advancing women's economic opportunities. And that's what, is close to my heart. And we can do this through sport. We can do it through other ways. And this is a great way to start.
Well, your Annika Foundation clearly is about lending a hand and helping lift up the next generation of golfers. I read a fascinating thing that when you were a little girl in Sweden, you would intentionally lose junior tournaments so that you didn't have to speak after a victory. It's hard to reconcile that kind of shyness with the person that you are today. Do you think that that was one of the biggest reasons that you got so invested in doing work on the mental side of the game?
Probably. You're right. I mean, I still am quite shy, but, golf has given me, confidence. It's giving me belief in myself and what I do. And also, confirming that if you have a dream, dreams do come true. So that's kind of what the Annika Foundation is all about, is providing these playing opportunities for upcoming girls that do have big dreams. Again, we provide these tournaments to motivate them, to inspire them, getting them in front of other players with similar goals and, you know, similar visions of playing the game. And again, just kind of being there for them at this crucial age. You know, we're talking, you know, 14 to 18 years old, where you just want them to continue and to understand that, yeah, it's just a game, but also, you know, statistics show that sports is really important in women's kind of future. Right. A lot of women in C-suites, a lot of successful women have a sports background, and I think that is so important. You know, something we can't underestimate, and golf, I think, can provide that in so many ways. And it's so neat to see this young girl being who they are, and I mean, it's inspiring to me to be able to help them. So it's been great.
Have any of the top amateurs or even LPGA players reached out to you to help them with the mental side of the game?
I've done some, you know, not too much. I mean, but, you know, just being part of the LPGA and, you know, just last year I was the captain for the European team, the Soham Cup. So I worked with quite a few players and be able to, you know, guide them through a few things. And, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy, you know, sharing my knowledge and, you know, my experiences to help them hopefully advance and, you know, going in the direction they want. So it's been fun and, you know, rewarding at the same time.
So let's get back to this incredible new Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship. It's April 3rd through the 6th. Tell me what you're doing with Bank of America at the event.
Yeah, no. So first of all, I mean, I'm excited about my partnership with Bank of America. I mean, they stand for a lot of things that I believe in, which obviously is empowering women. But, you know, this is not something necessarily new for them. They've been involved in lots of different initiatives, but this is another platform, a platform where sports, you know, really can get this message through, how we can not just grow the game, but just energize young women to play the game, but then also, you know, again, thinking bigger, thinking bolder. And so it's nice to see the commitment from, you know, such a big company, and they understand the importance of you know, diversity and inclusion. And so it's been, you know, this is just the beginning of many things I think we can do together.
There was obviously a lot of conversation surrounding Augusta National for years. It didn't desegregate until 1991, didn't add its first female members until 2012. This latest initiative to introduce this amateur tournament is a huge step forward. Was there any concern from you or anybody else in the women's golf community to so quickly embrace this initiative because of their kind of checkered past?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, this really was just announced, you know, maybe, you know, 11 months ago. This has come about really quickly. I think that from a short-term perspective, you know, maybe it was a little bit conflicting with the LPGA. I know they wanted to be a part of it and so forth, because, you know, the women's first major is being played this same week, the A&A Inspiration. So, but from a long-term perspective, I think this is huge for women's golf. It's historic for young players to walk the fairways of Augusta National, the week of, you know, the Masters week, the biggest week in golf, and to be able to showcase their skill. I mean, I think it's tremendous. And I mean, I'm excited for them. I'm excited for women's golf. And this is just, I mean, we all know that whatever the Masters Foundation do, what, you know, they do it big, they do it well, and the long-term effects are very positive.
Yeah, you mentioned it. We held during the same time as the A&A Inspiration. It's kind of a conflict for amateurs who might be looking to participate in that event versus having the opportunity to play at Augusta, and might also split the audience. Why do you think they didn't take that into consideration when scheduling the event?
You know, I don't know the thinking behind everything, but it is, again, a continuation of the Masters Week and a celebration of golf. And this will now include women. So, like I said, on a long-term perspective, this is great. And I think in every part of the way you look at it, you know, not just girls' golf, women's golf, I mean, women in general, women in business, the partnerships that they have, it's just I mean, if I was a young girl, I would be all over. This is fantastic.
Right. And also because tickets are a lot more affordable than going to the Masters. If you always wanted to walk the fairways at Augusta, this is a great chance to get in without the same rush. How long do you think before a women's Masters so the pros can get a shot at Augusta? Because I know a lot of the pros on social media reacted to the news of this with, man, should I go back and try to get my amateur status and all that stuff?
I don't know. Right now I spend a lot of time working with young girls, and, you know, keep in mind these young girls, they will be, you know, I would say 90% of these will be professionals in the coming years. So this is the next generation. You got to invest in the younger ones to see the fruit down the road. So this is a good thing.
The LPGA today, do you think it's tougher to grow the game and sell the game without one dominant player and superstar around which you can build excitement and marketing?
If you look at the LPGA today, I think our commissioner, Mike Wan, he's done an excellent job, you know, really with a group of top players from around the world. You know, it's very much a global tour with players from, you know, New Zealand, Thailand, Korea, and the U.S. And so, you know, he's done an excellent job promoting it the way we have. And so, you know, I think that this is probably as good time the LPGA has ever been. And as far as partnership, viewership, and players, it's fun to watch. And I'm sure that, you know, the time will come when we will have, you know, a dominant or two players going head to head.
You mentioned in a tweet that 59 of the 72 participants in this upcoming amateur tournament competed in at least one of your Annika Foundation tournaments. How many tournaments do you have, and is that purely to add another bit of competition to maybe not a full slate of amateur competitions for girls golfers?
So we do have seven now. This is we started our 11th year with Annika Foundation, you know, and the goal was to have a tournament in every corner of the world. And so we feel very, very lucky that we have almost reached that goal, because we're in New Zealand, we are in South America and Argentina, we are in China, we're in Europe, and obviously in the U.S. And we have initiatives anything from six-year-old to college events. So, you know, we reach over 600 girls every year. So you can imagine over 10 years we've been able to see a lot of these young players. And, you know, obviously personally it gives me a lot of it makes me smile to see that we have 59 of these 72 players. 59, it's a kind of a coincidence, the number, I guess, on top of it. But to see them, you know, be invited to Augusta National Women's Amateur is just fantastic. I mean, I've built a relationship with many of these players. I've seen them, you know, some of them for 10 years, to see them grow through our grassroots and then to some of our initiatives and then college event. And it's really neat. So it's kind of feel like it's come to a full circle, and it, you know, just kind of justifies all the commitment and all the miles we put into, you know, to inspire these players from around the world.
How much do you still play golf? How often?
I don't play as much, of course. I still do a lot of corporate outings, charity events, and, you know, I go to every Annika Invitational, Annika and Collegiate, and I do demonstrational clinics and talk to the girls about, you know, my experiences, my knowledge, and so forth. So it's, you know, my shots don't necessarily have a purpose as they used to, but still hopefully the words that come along mean something to them.
Do you miss the competition side of it?
Not really. I mean, now it's been 10 years, you know, 10 years removed from competition. And, you know, other than my foundation and my corporate partners, I do, you know, I have two kids and a husband I like to spend time with. So, you know, I feel like I got my hands full, but it's, you know, golf has always meant so much to me. So I'm glad that I can continue to have a foot in the game.
Now you're on the slopes more. I can tell from your Twitter feed. Are you competitive in everything you do? If you're out skiing, or if you're playing tennis,
yes,
or if you're playing board games, do you have
yes
to win?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
And yes.
Good.
Yeah. So, I guess that's my nature. So sometimes it's good and sometimes not so good.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Sometimes you got to take a deep breath.
Correct.
Yeah, couple speed round questions for you. What's your favorite course to play ever?
I've played Pine Valley in New Jersey. It was just fantastic.
What's your favorite club?
It used to be my driver.
Your most memorable round or tournament?
Shooting 59.
Mm-hmm, that's a pretty good one. Your most memorably terrible round or tournament?
Oh, I'm trying to forget all the bad shots and all the bad tournaments.
But there's not one that haunts you, that like pops into your head every once in a while and you got to shove it out.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, you don't win every tournament. As a matter of fact, you know, you lose more than you win, as they say. I try not to look at it that way, other than you hopefully learn from your mistakes. But, you know, one tournament, I mean, I've had a few runner-ups where I felt like I should have kind of clinched it. But, you know, I come back with revenge or whatever you call it, because, it makes you more hungry.
Yeah. Who was the toughest competitor to face?
Let's see. Corey Webb was probably my toughest during my career.
What thing do you miss most about being on the tour?
I do. I think just the competitive, the flow, the adrenaline is exciting. And, you know, of course, some of the people.
Who was your closest friend on the tour?
Closest friend. Well, I actually keep in touch with Natalie Gulbis quite a bit. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and Suzanne Pedersen. To name a few, Carlotta Segunda, Anna Norquist is kind of a neighbor.
Cool. Who's your fave to watch on the LPGA Tour right now?
My favorite, Soyoung Park. She happens to be number one. I just like the way she swings and just kind of go about things.
Who's your favorite to watch on the PGA Tour?
Well, I'm a Tiger Woods fan for sure. But there are quite a few there I enjoy watching. Justin Thomas, I think, I love the way he plays.
I'm a big Jordan Spieth person. I think that there should be more chest bumping in golf.
No, he's another great guy with Ricky Fowler. They probably have a handful that's just fun to watch.
Yeah, good personalities. You mentioned Tiger. Are you surprised that he made it back and is competing?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I didn't think so. Considering, you know, just all the health issues, his back problems and, you know, the surgeries he's had. I mean, they were not minor surgeries. They were big surgeries. And to come back with kind of the power and clubhead speed and also being away from the game and then kind of want to come back. I mean, he does have, you know, children and businesses and still have the hunger to play. I thought that's, you know, I admire him for that.
Do you think we'll see him win another major?
You know what? I didn't think he was going to come back. I was wrong. So now I'm not going to
right.
I'm not going to put my money on anything that he does.
Well, Annika, we'll be looking for you on that April 6th as you join the fellow greats to do the first tee ceremony. Is there anything else you're participating in relation to that amateur championship?
I'll be there literally the whole week. Certainly to support the players and, support the initiative, interact with them and just kind of celebrate women's golf and the tournament.
Have you played Augusta before?
I have, yes. I've been lucky to do that a few times.
Was it as magical as everyone makes it out to be?
Yes.
I also heard you're designing courses. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a few in the works. My latest that we just finished was an Anna Palmer design, co-design in Minnesota and
nice.
Minneapolis. And I did the front nine, he did the back nine. So they call it the king and the queen. So
I love that.
That was an amazing experience.
If you were sending someone to just one of the courses you designed, where would you send them?
Well, U.S., that's my one and only. But if you feel like traveling a little bit around the world, I have one in China, one in South Africa, and one in South Korea. So you pick.
Okay. I'll go to all of them then. That should be I'll take off work next year. Annika, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the tournament. Everyone will be looking forward to seeing this sort of historic event. I appreciate you joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sarah.
Sometimes all you really need is a quickie.
Well, that's what she said.